All right, welcome to the Toddcast. Holy crap, it's been a year. Like a whole solid year. It's nuts. I am John, the regional manager. I am with
Bo, the Ohio store manager.
And TJ, just some dude that works at the Ohio store.
It's all good, guys. I appreciate you guys coming on, hanging out with me, trying to bring this thing back. It actually was kind of your idea, so it's even funnier.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was. I liked the concept when you first opened this store and you did the one here. So I was hoping you would do another one. You never really came back around again.
It's fine. My bad. It was a good time, though. Like, we always have good times on the Toddcast. So as this is the return and we've have a whole year's worth of stuff that we could talk about, we're not going to talk about a year's worth of stuff. We're just going to talk about some stuff. But first, we're going to talk about the events coming up at your local New Dimension Comics. This Sunday, well, actually, I guess this Saturday, we'll be set up down in Wheeling at the YWCA. Yeah. It's from 10 to 5, I think. 10 to 5, 10 to 6, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. It's free with a donation. Like some kind of food donation, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Or any kind of donation, I think.
Yeah,
donation. Yeah, it's some donation to them. So come down and check it out. We'll be selling some cheap books and some fun will be had. It'll be good. The day after that in Cranberry is our Geek Flea Market and Memorial Day cookout. So we got dollar books. We got 30% off back issues, 20% off Silver Age, 10% off toys, graphic novels, gaming, and statues. Also, I will be cooking hot dogs, and we have a bunch of random flea market dudes hanging out. Everybody's like buying tables and setting up. It's a whole lot of fun. You know, definitely check it out. All right. Shortly after that, we have on June 1st the Million Comic Sale, where we open up the three different buildings in Elwood. So the basement and the old and the regular store will be opening at 8 a.m. The old store and the VFW will only open at 10. So come early, check it out, go to breakfast down the street, and hopefully the Dunkin' Donuts truck stops out in front because that would be awesome. But if you've never been to one, it's cool. If you've never been to a basement sale, you should come and check it out because it is crazy huge. The basement alone is a 500,000 books all sorted and a dollar a piece. There is no box price this time, so make sure you count your books. Then 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, we have the customer appreciation sale at all six locations, 25% off everything except for a couple exclusions. Mostly usually like booster boxes and might be one or two other things. It may not be the full 25, it may not be anything, but check your local NDC for more details on that. And all dollar stocks are just 30 cents each.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so lots of fun to be had. So make sure you guys check those out. Come out and hang out with us. And now we're going to talk a little bit about these little things called comic books. Because that's kind of what we do. Who wants to go first? Not Bo.
You go first.
It's my first time. I'll go first. So I'm going to wait to see what you guys do.
Fair enough. All right, so I'm going to talk about a book came out, 2 months ago? But it's been pretty good. Is Tim Seeley's Dark Red from Aftershock.
It's been about that, yeah.
Yeah, because it came out right before, it was the week before C2E2. Good.
There's two of them out now.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Right. So... it's kind of I kind of dig it because it's kind of like it's kind of got like this weird Scooby-Doo vibe. It's kind of got like a weird supernatural vibe, and it's kind of got a weird True Blood vibe all mixed together. So like the main character is this dude who just kind of lives in the South and is a vampire, and he is a janitor at convenience store, I guess, is the thing. And you kind of start to see like different styles of how the vampires in this world exist. The art's really solid. The writing was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's pretty cool. If you're into horror, I dig it. If you're into stuff Tim Seeley does, I definitely dig it. Corin Howell is the other creator on here. He's the artist. Tim Seeley wrote it. So, yeah, definitely check that out from Aftershock Comics. Number 2 just came out last week, right? Week 4, maybe?
No, it's been out for two weeks now.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Jeez, we're about to get number 3 then, right?
Number 3 will be here soon, yeah.
It's so crazy. So, all right. Now one of you guys has to go.
Good. You want me to do it? All right. The book I'm going to review today is going to be Metal Shark Bro.
Sweet.
I believe Chip put me onto this because I am notorious for buying any book that has a shark on the cover or is about sharks. So, yeah, this looked ridiculous. It's put out by Scout Comics. Let's see here. The writer is Bob Franz and Kevin Cuff. I think that's how you say the last name, Cuff. Yeah. And the artist is Walter Ostley? Ostley. We'll go with that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll go with that. All right, so just by looking at this book, like the cover, you know you're in for a ride of ridiculousness. It starts off with these two metalhead dudes that just got signed to a major label, and they're partying on a boat, and they're all drunk and stuff. They go to high-five each other. They miss. One hits the other guy in the head, knocks him off the boat. Of course, there is a shark in the water.
What?
So the shark eats the guy and is swimming around, and then out of nowhere comes a demon. It's it's Lucifer or Satan's nephew. What did we say his name was? Beelzebra. It's like Beelzebub, but bra.
But bra.
Bra, dude. So he's kind of annoyed because the metalhead dudes were, you know, they're Satanists. So he decides to turn the shark into a metalhead dude.
So it's a pretty metal shark, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So the shark, you know, it's an animal. It's like flipping out. It can talk now and stuff. It doesn't know what's going on. It's not really happy with being a man shark, I guess we'll call that.
It's like a king shark, but he's more metal.
Yeah.
He's the metal king shark.
So basically he wants to be put back to normal. And so Beelzebra, makes him a deal where if the shark kills people that have stepped out of deals with Satan, mm-hmm. like you know, shortchanged him and stuff,
right.
That he'll return him back to being a normal shark. So that's the general premise of this book. So the shark obviously, you know, is a hunter anyway, so he has no problem with this.
Right,
and he takes his he has a sword that looks like it came straight out of Final Fantasy VII. there's just a big splash page of him cutting all these people down. It's wild, dude.
It's awesome.
The rest of the book, I don't know. I guess they're putting out like a prestige
format. Yeah.
This is just sort of like a sample of it. So I guess we'll have to look for that to get the rest of the story. And see what happens with him, and if he gets put back to being a regular shark. God, I hope not, because that was too much.
Maybe he'll end up just being a metalhead.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool. So it's very similar. Like it kind of sounds like all these crazy books that have been coming out, like Shirtless Bear Fighter, and
it did remind me.
What was the other one?
Murder Falcon.
Murder Falcon. Yeah, that was the other one.
I read a book. What was it? I guess it had been like 2 or 3 years now, Grizzly Shark.
Yeah, Grizzly Shark.
Sort of reminded me of that. It was like a mixture of a bear and a shark.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm curious to remember who did Grizzly Shark. I'm going to look it up while you...
This was really good. It was a nice change from the normal comic books that I read. It was straight up goofy.
As it should be.
If you don't take things seriously, you just need some light reading check this out. You know, obviously for fans of Jaws and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, the art style definitely played to that.
And it fits, the art style fits the story, definitely. It fits the goofiness of it. I loved it. I wish it was just like an ongoing series. I'm definitely going to pick up the Prestige trade paperback thing that comes out for it, though.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. All right, Bo, your turn.
All right. The book I chose this week was, I don't know, one book that's been getting made fun of a lot, maybe a little bit, but is extremely expensive for the first few issues and whatnot, is Naomi. It is so it is now, kind of still trending upward, we're a little bit downward now, but written by, as you guys know, Bendis, arts by Jamal Campbell. The book is absolutely beautiful, in my opinion. Campbell does an awesome job with the book. If you haven't read the first, this is on issue 5, just came out last week. If you have not read the first 4, hopefully you can still find some second, 13th prints, whatever they're up to now. If not, it's just a 6-part series, so you can pick up the trade when that happens. So basically, if you guys are all kind of caught up and wondering kind of what's up with this book that everybody's kind of talking about, but maybe you haven't been able to obtain, Bendis introduces a new character, obviously named Naomi. From a small town, doesn't know what's going on. She's been adopted. Big mystery for the first few issues, where she's from, what's going on. Here to find out that Superman comes to town, and this causes a fuss. It makes her think that something else has happened, like the people of the town are keeping something from her, that there's been other superheroes in this town because it's so rare to see a superhero. Here to find out is that her father is from Ran, same place from Madame Strange, and the guy that she finds all this out from is a mechanic, and he is from Thanagar, same place obviously Hawkman's from. So find out she was basically cast here from another world, and her parents are some type of almost Lantern-esque, I'm going to say at this point in time, Lantern-esque.
Yeah, well, they haven't
individuals.
Really,
like, they haven't really touched on it, but that's what I'm shooting for at the moment.
Said that, but the symbol definitely looks like a White Lantern.
It
symbol.
Is. I just read that they said it wasn't intentional, but it is. It has to be. There's got to be something there with it. Yeah. So
not intentional.
Not intentional, quote, but something there.
Right.
But basically, she was sent here due to the crisis, as they called it. The world was ending. Basically, the ozone layer was being depleted on her other Earth. And when the ozone layer got depleted, found that it really wasn't a bad thing, is that 29 random people got, taken in with radiation, and it transformed them into these lantern-esque individuals. And they weren't able to procreate, nothing to that effect. And she was kind of a miracle baby. And she was blessed with her parents' powers. And at the end of this book, we find out the big bad guy, he was a serial killer on death row, and finds out that he has finally found her since she's now, released her powers due to her finally uncovering the secret, that he comes to Earth and, wants to end her.
Dun, dun, dun.
He almost reminds me a lot of Magog. Right. That's what picked me up on this.
Oh,
Magog. Old Magog type of dude with dreads, though. But a little bit of that going on, in my opinion. A little bit old school there, JSA, Justice stuff, and Kingdom Come.
That's
regardless.
Awesome.
But it's worth reading. People make fun of you a little bit, give you a hard time about it, but it's actually a good reading. The artwork's phenomenal. So check it out. Check out one of them 13th, 14th printings, or pick up a trade. Get it somehow digital any way you can, but it's a pretty good read.
No, I read the
Who
first
Who was the artist
issue?
On that book?
Jamal Campbell.
Oh, that's right.
I read the first issue of it, and I wasn't, like, it didn't really grip me.
Yeah, me either.
I was kind of like, eh, whatever. I had more fun watching all the speculators and stuff go nuts over
it. It has been the craziest book.
Yeah, I remember everybody was talking about how she was going to be Kryptonian for a bit, and then the next issue comes out, and oh no, there's a White Lantern symbol. She's going to have something to do with the White Lanterns and stuff. So that pushed. I mean, it's cool because it pushes like values of old books, like Blackest Night 7. Mm-hmm. It pushed the value of that. It went from like Dollar Bin City to $20
right,
book.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of cool. The people that are actually reading it, though, they seem to like it, and they talk about, like, the mystery of her. I don't really care where this character goes, but
me either.
I'd like to see how the story finishes out, though, and like what she really is, and if it has anything to do with the lanterns, because that definitely interested me.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I'm only curious to see if it actually has something to do with lanterns.
It's just a nice, refreshing look from DC, because everything from Marvel, there's always these new characters all the time, and with DC, it just doesn't seem like there's one that comes along very often, like a brand new, like super popular character, and maybe this is her.
This is going to sound awful, but I feel like this is Bendis going, all right, I get a second try at Riri.
I see it as more as like he's creating DC's Miles Morales.
I agree with
that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. I mean, that's very, especially if she ends up being a lantern, that's like right on the nose.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think that's what everybody's hoping for, too, that
right.
this character is going to stick. So.
But she may. But hopefully she doesn't get relegated to the B-list once this series ends. If she gets relegated to, like, something like, what, Young Justice, that would be a killer to it. It is Wonder Comics. But supposedly they was going to integrate her in, so I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I think she's going to end up in one of the Superman books, too.
Well, she's got to be in that Leviathan, I would assume, maybe.
Well, so. I guess we'll find out soon. All right, my next book is Sabrina the Teenage Witch number 2 by Kelly Thompson and Veronica Fish and Andy Fish. So I picked up this book because, A, I love the character Sabrina, and, B, I really need more Sabrina in my life since Chilling Adventures is on hiatus until Roberto stops making TV shows or takes a little more of a break. Because I really love that book, and I really want it back. Love you, Robert Hack. Come on. Anyway,
I want some more Afterlife with Archie.
Same thing. Yeah, he writes that book, too. So this book is pretty good. It's very more in tune with the television show, and probably has some of the best art that Archie has had since Fiona Staples did actual Archie. I really... really enjoy this book. It's very much so, you know, a Sabrina the Teenage Witch book. Like, there's magic, there's her friends, there's her aunts, everything you want out of a Sabrina show or out of a Sabrina book. And, you know, it keeps your attention enough to want more. And it's got, like, crazy weird mishaps. I feel, though, that this book... because for me, Kelly Thompson is like a 50-50. Like, she's either right on it or it's really not. So I think it's a little too early to figure out this one, but I really feel that this book is going to sell a ton when it gets into graphic novel form, like once it gets collected.
Now, when you said that this it was like the TV show, you mean like the older Sabrina show, that right?
No, I mean like the newer one.
Newer,
not as dark, though. It's okay. like if it would have been on CW instead of Netflix, this is the show you would have got.
Okay, so a little bit watered down.
Yeah, a little more bright. Like a little more tween,
not as edgy
and dark.
Okay, I got you.
There's no talking goats. So
there's no need to talking goats.
Who doesn't want a talking goat? So, but that's pretty much it. All in all, it's good, man. Like, I dig it.
I picked up the first one that had the Adam Hughes cover, mainly just because of the cover. I guess I should probably read it.
That'd probably be good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't one of the do they still call it Madhouse, that version?
Yeah.
Or the horror verse or whatever? It wasn't.
Yeah,
because
they're still doing, like, they still do, like, Vampironica and Jughead the Hunger, and they just had a crossover for that.
Yeah, that
and
I'm reading.
There was another one. Oh, the Blossom 666.
That's awesome.
I haven't read it yet, but I heard it's awesome.
Yep.
I missed the first issue, so I just kind of.
It's all that stuff. The only reason why I didn't pick up the Sabrina, just because I've been obsessed lately with Archie, Jughead, The Hunger, all the new stuff. I just didn't care for the artwork in that. So it kind of like threw me off, like I didn't want to try it out. So
I dug it because it's kind of this like new wavy of artists that kind of like Jen Bentall, like that kind of wave, like where it's not anime, it's not manga style, it's not like your classic stuff, it's somewhere in between. It kind of has like a hint of who did that book? Motor Crush, like that style art. Babstar, okay. I think did that. Yeah.
Okay, I remember when Babstar.
So it's kind of, yeah. So it's kind of like that style art, which I kind of thought fit the character well. So that was kind of cool. So.
Yeah. All right.
All right. What do you got?
Okay, next one's a little bit. Would this come out last week? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I haven't
five.
Read it yet.
Okay, by Donnie Cates and Jeff Shaw.
Donnie Cates.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
Donnie Cates fanboy now. I've liked him since.
You've officially gotten the tattoo. You're part of the group.
Not there yet. But we'll see.
Part of Cates Gate.
Now I'm not gonna say I like everything that dude's done because I didn't really care for his Doctor Strange, and Baby Teeth never really grabbed me either.
I like Baby Teeth.
I really liked God Country. That was.
Oh yeah, that was Redneck. Really good too. Redneck was bad.
You like Redneck? I didn't like Redneck.
No. Nah. Huh.
I don't
get into it
that long.
Everything else he does is pretty good though. Great.
I was when he first came into Marvel and they said he was doing Venom and I was kind of excited about that.
First he did Doctor Strange.
And then
he went to Avengers and then he went to Venom.
Yeah, the Venom thing is what really like I was like, oh, I'd like to see him do some Punisher too, actually.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll ever get that. But anyway, back to the book. yeah, I got
full circle.
Yeah, it's sidetracked. Anyway, this story follows the last Infinity War story where Gamora was the big bad and tried to get all the Infinity Stones. For people that didn't read that, I believe in the first issue of that story, she cut off Thanos' head, killed him. So
awesome.
Yeah, spoilers. For anybody didn't read that. But okay, what's going on is the Black Order and Eros and several other people are trying to replace Thanos, or resurrect him, I should say. So
right.
They got his body, and they're trying to find. I believe they built a new body for him in this, or they put it back together. I just thought they were going to give somebody else the whole mantle of Thanos, and kind of like. In Final Crisis when Dan Turpin became Darkseid and it was just going to be something like that.
Yeah.
Which would have been a terrible idea.
Yeah, probably. but yeah, what happens in this issue is they finally do choose somebody to take over, to become Thanos.
Right.
And it's, should I spoil that one or?
Nah,
we'll leave that. We're not. We're getting in that.
It only came out last week. Give it a minute.
Buy the issue, and you'll
for
find
my
out.
For my sake, don't spoil it. I only got two more books to read from last week, and that's one of them. I always wait because I love Cates and Guardians.
The character interactions in here were pretty sweet. You get to see Groot just being a punk, and he's sort of like he's taking command of the ship and the group and everything. So that's different.
That's awesome.
He has this little dude. He's actually on like the second page that comes off of him. He says, "I am Stab." He's like kicking Peter Quill in the side. So that's kind of cool.
That's a very Cates thing to do.
Right. Yeah. Just get your kicks in there. But Peter has been kind of a mess throughout most of this story. His crew is it's not the movie crew.
Right.
It's. What do you got? Moondragon. Do they call her Quasar now? The Phyla Vell?
Yeah. She's been Quasar for a while.
Quasar. Beta Ray Bill's in it, so definitely read that
because
Beta Ray is awesome. But yeah, I mean, like the writing's been solid for this. I just wanted a classic, like good guys versus bad guys.
Is that Lockjaw?
I know. I thought he was dead.
do I need to? I think every page of this book is a spoiler.
Just stop. Just don't flip anymore. Don't flip
close
anymore.
Close that for Bo's sake before he beats me with the mic. That was only the second page, man.
No, he's back.
I know. Nobody ever stays dead in comics.
Especially Marvel.
Yep. Thanos doesn't stay dead either. That's what this is all about. Yeah, it's solid. Solid writing by Cage. Solid art. You get to see the Cosmic Ghost Rider get jacked up, and it's pretty good, which is awesome. I thought he was a little OP for the last several stories that he was in. So seeing him get kicked to the curb pretty hard there, that was nice.
That's awesome.
Then Hela. Hela's just is really cool. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of that character, but from Thor Ragnarok, seeing her in that, it was like I was a little bit more interested in seeing what goes on with that. With her, and she's the goddess of death, and since Thanos has that weird like relationship with death, I wondered how they were gonna intertwine that, and they do in this. Like
don't spoil it.
I can't. It's so hard to review a
damn
book.
It, Bo.
I told you not to review this one. I did say that. I said pick anything else. You should have picked Amazing Spider-Man like you thought you was going to do.
Yeah, that's good too.
The Hunted is awesome right now.
Well,
extra book we throw in for free.
I wanted to wait until it was done and then kind of do a review on the whole story. Doing a review when there's just one part left is kind of...
build the anticipation. People will go get them back issues.
Anticipation. For all you fans of...
Get your Shatner on over there.
No, that was... That was Dr. Frankenfurter.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Definitely pick this up. I thought this was going to be a mini series, but apparently, because there's been ads in it for the next story is called. Turn your head, Bo, so you don't accidentally catch something. I believe the next story is called The Death of Rocket Raccoon. So
that's pretty awesome.
Good.
I definitely will be sticking around for that one.
Hope he gets eaten by a flurkin. That'd be awesome. No. So, all right, cool. Sounds good.
That was sort of a bad review because I can't talk about half the things in the book. The whole book's spoiler laden. So,
well, that sounds like a Donny Cates book. So,
damn it, Bo.
Do a quick 2-minute recap next time. I have three.
Right. Well, anyway. Bo.
The next book, which is also Kate-esque, but written by some... Yes, because Kate's wrote this before, and he took over the mantle from Starlin, I thought, pretty well. And it's very... I don't like anybody writing Thanos besides Jim Starlin, Donnie Cates. Lemire didn't do a very great job, in my opinion.
So Griffin took over for Lemire.
Griffin was after Starlin.
Pretty picky about who writes Thanos, too. And Starlin's king, but this...
Starlin's king. Cates did well. But this new book, Thanos number one, new second book should be out, I think it's next week after. But so anticipation build for that one. Written by Teenie Howard. Is a Thanos, I think it's five parts, something like that, whatnot. But basically, it's a prequel talking about him and Gamora, how they kind of met, going to her home world, killing her family or half of her population, all that. What they explain in the movie, but kind of why Thanos did it, what he was like, his mental state through all this. And basically, he would just be on the ship, be all depressed in a way, and reach out and start killing members of the crew. Whenever he'd kill somebody in the crew, he would then he'd go massacre a planet. So that'd be like his thing. He would sit around and do something. Then all at once, the crew would hear people screaming, which was cool. And Thanos would kill somebody, and then he'd have orders to go take out another planet. So. Kind of cool look
it's
at
like having an appetizer before the meal.
It is.
They thought Galactus was bad.
I know. Right?
And that was it through the whole book, the whole kind of book, and find out towards the end that Gamora can also see death, and it surprises Thanos because she witnessed half of her population. She was like left and with Thanos, and she speaks to death and can see her, and it takes Thanos by surprise. He's obviously jealous, anybody that goes through that. But
did you talk to my woman?
It is, but very cool book. Just getting started into it, obviously, so good to pick up. But just Thanos being...
I love that he's in, like, Prince Adam gear.
He is there. Yeah, his old style from, like, totally basically like the... I think it was Thanos 11.
From He-Man.
Yeah.
I like to call that his farmer gear.
His farmer gear.
Yeah, that's
he
also,
is.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yep. But definitely cool Farmos. Book to pick up. Gives, like, a little bit of insight into his psyche going into things. And
this is pretty solid.
It is. And also, I forgot about that. He does meet Magus in this. It's kind of around that time period when Adam Warlock split his
No, he does not.
When he split off his personalities into her and Magus.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. That gives you kind of a timeline of when this all takes place. And definitely worth a pickup and see where it goes from there. So far, she wrote Thanos pretty cool. Little, you know, nice little mini to start into. And the variants, if you can still find them, are sweet. So definitely recommend those if you can still find them, because they was
to check that book out.
They were cool.
All right, so you get some Thanos past and present.
You
right.
do.
Hmm. All right. So if you are in your local New Dimension Comics this week, here are a couple some other cool books you can look forward to checking out. Action 1011. Holy
Leviathan.
Crap. Leviathan. Actually, that's a really cool cover where Superman's holding the Leviathan.
It is.
Up.
Yeah.
Amazing Nightcrawler 4, as Guardians of the Galaxy 9, Avengers 19, Batgirl 35, Batman Beyond 32, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the new first volume came out, and you should totally check that out if you like
it's
Buffy.
Excellent.
Holy crap, is that book good? And the art's really good too.
Also interchanges with Angel that is releasing their number one, comes out next week.
Yeah, yep. I didn't read the Firefly because I'm not really a big Firefly person, but
shame on you.
Agree.
Shame on both of you.
Anyway, Detective Comics 1004, Dial H for Hero 3, Doctor Strange 14, Flash 71, Freedom Fighter 6, Ghost Tree 2, G.I. Joe Real American Hero 262, Goon number 2, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yes, the Alex Ross variant is so cool.
Incursion 4 from Valiant, that's pretty cool. Invader Zim 43, Justice League Dark 11, Martian Manhunter 5, Marvel Comics Presents 5, Mary Shelley Monster Hunter number 2, which number 1 blew up, so definitely check out number 2. Miles Morales Spider-Man 6, Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur 43, Mr. and Mrs. X 11. Those are all one shot covers. Road of Bones number 1 from IDW, which features letters by one of our avid shoppers
subs.
And subscribers here, Justin Birch. So check him out. It's his first IDW work. It's got his name on it.
That's awesome.
He's excited. We ran into him this morning. He's pretty pumped. Runaways 21, Scooby-Doo Team Up 48, Secret Life of Pets 1, Shadow Play 4, Shuri 8, Silencer 17, Sonic 17, bunch of random Star Wars Jabba the Hutt covers, Star Wars Galaxy Edge 2, Terrific 16. True Believers, couple of those coming out. Oh, True Believers, what a Spider-Girl 1. Heck yeah. Unstoppable Wasp number 8, Venom 14, War of the Realms, Journey into Mystery 3, New Agents of Atlas 2, Punisher 2, Strike Force, Giant of Lands number 1, and Uncanny X-Men 2, Wonder Woman 71, and X-Force 8. So, lots of cool stuff, lots of X stuff this week.
That's weird. I guess get it all in before reboot number 5,284.
Gotta get in before Dark Phoenix ruins everything. Which I'm actually pretty excited to check it out, actually.
So disappointing they're rebooting it. It's so good. It's actually really the main story. I will seclude it to that. Is so good right now. It's a shame they're rebooting.
All right, so we're gonna take a few minutes here for the rest of this show to talk about a little thing that happened a couple weeks ago. That we're all, it, like the cool part is we're involved in this thing three different ways here. So we're talking about Three Rivers Comic Con 2019, which is our annual comic convention that we put on. We had it in the waterfront this time, in an old Macy's building that worked out really well. So you have weird different perspectives. So you have me, who's a promoter for the show, TJ, who set up as a vendor, and Bo, who is a fan, who wanted to go but couldn't end up going.
Well, I had to run the store. I'm sorry.
You have people for that.
I didn't. The vendor was at the store at the show.
I'm sorry, I couldn't be at work. I had to go be at work there.
It's true. I did put him to work. Don't let him lie to you. So I would just personally like to thank everybody listening who went to the show or supports the show for coming out. It was another successful year for us, and we are planning some really cool, bigger, badder things for next year. Badder in a good way. So bigger, gooder things.
Bigger, gooder.
Get that bigger, gooder thing. Holy crap, did Elijah just get back rehired? Anyway. That's how I felt. I got to meet some cool people. I got to meet like Russ Braun and I get to hang out with like people I haven't seen. Oh, you got Matt Horak, who was awesome. He's doing Spider-Man Deadpool. He did Punisher for a while.
Infamous major.
Yeah, I asked him about that. I was like, how many of those do you sign this week? He's like, only two. I was like, really? That's it?
That's a shame, man.
This was Sunday morning, so maybe he got more on Sunday. I just thought it was pretty funny. We just kind of joked about it. It was cool. But it's cool to see guys like Steve Geiger and Mike Okamoto and Drew Garcia and Drew Garisi, and Dirk Manning, Kalen Smith, and Casey Pierce, and Stan Konupka. I always have to think about his last name because there's so many O's in it. And all the guys from Source Point Press that were there. Valiant was there. Aftershock. Scott McDaniel was there with Black Box. Josh Blaylock, who ended up at the last minute doubling the size of his booth to help me out. It was great. He was a real trooper.
Yeah, he was like right across from me, not exactly across. Yeah, he was kind of corner from me.
Yeah, but it was also cool to see guys to come back to Pittsburgh that haven't been there in a long time. Like Sammy Castillo was the first time she was back in Pittsburgh since before Tommy passed away, and it was awesome. Like she had a good time. I love their work in general, so it's just kind of how I look at that. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off the whole weekend, getting pulled in every direction as possible, but I had a blast doing it.
I did not.
How was yours?
I was pretty. I probably should have got out more. I mean, I had my girlfriend Allison with me, and she is more than capable of running my booth without me being there. I don't know why I just stayed anchored to my booth pretty much the whole time, but I did get out once in a while just to go look around and see what was out there. So that was kind of cool. Most of the people that came to my booth, I did notice though, were other vendors.
Yeah.
And that's where I made most of my sales from too. You know, I tried to talk to the occasional passerby, comic fan,
right,
to come in and check some things out. My booth was my area was set up kind of weird. I was right by a big pole, so it was kind of like a little cave. And then the two people on each side of me also set up walls,
so to isolate you a little more.
It made it even more like a cave. No complaints about that though. Really, it worked out. People came in, they found me, they got to look and buy their comics and talk to me, ask about stuff. I had a good time. That was actually my first con setting up as a vendor. I mean, I've helped people before doing that, but like where it was actually my booth. So.
Right.
I don't have any complaints about it, really. I had a good time listening to the guy next to me that was selling Beatles records. Like that guy was cool. I could see all the cool cosplays walk by and all that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we had some like really good cosplays this year. And actually, someone who used to work in the store,
Aubrey
was one of our guests. Her cosplay model name is Oddfell.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like. Someone sent me a picture of her, and I'm playing with this new photo editor because I'm looking for a better one for the show. And I got it to look like super awesome. I was like, holy crap, this editor's awesome. And I'm like, oh man, you could see like all of the hairs in her wig like after it. And it, like the wig looked killer. It was one of her Jean Greys.
Yeah, for anybody that's wondering, like, who we're talking about, like, she was probably one form of Jean Grey or another, because I think she does pretty much every form of Jean Grey.
She was also Scarlet Witch for a while, and what was the other one? Mostly it was Jean Grey's, though.
Yeah,
like, the X-Factor Jean Grey was awesome.
Was so awesome.
Man, it was cool. Like, the mask is perfect. But yeah, I'll show you that picture later. It was actually really cool. You know, we were really excited to have her out and hang out. I know all the cosplay people said they did well and everything was good. We've sent out a survey to some of the attendees, and 99% of the feedback has been great. So, definitely already looking forward to next year, and hopefully that'll pan out. So, Bo.
Yes.
As someone who couldn't go, what were you looking – if you could have went, what were you looking forward to doing?
I could care less, honestly, about anything at a Comic-Con besides the comics. So
– you would have been shocked.
I don't care. I mean, I would – like I said, I like artists and
creators.
Writers. Cool. I'd love to see them, you know, if I like their book, get them signed. I could care less about celebrities, who's at any of them. I just like to go for comics. And like I said, a few of my customers have come in. They had great luck finding some things. But I just care about the comics. That's what all I care about. I don't care about celebrities. And that's a lot of people go for celebrities. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not for me. I like to find the best, you know, the coolest, hottest books at low prices, if it's possible, or just things I've been really looking for. So,
well, the only like you say celebrity, and I always fight this term,
mm-hmm.
because a celebrity is pretty much anyone who's famous for something, period.
Yeah.
Right? Because like Ron Friends to me is a celebrity.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Let's just say this.
you're talking about like
I think there
you're
was
talking
recent,
about like actors.
Yeah, the recent one I know one of my friends went to was to see Jason Momoa. Cool. Love to meet him.
Yeah.
I'm not paying that much to see him because he doesn't need my money like that. I mean, just sign
that's
something
fair.
For
that's fair.
Like that's you there's an example. It'd be cool. Yeah. Like I just want to. Yeah. If I'd like to meet you or something like that. I mean, it's too expensive for that when I could go buy a sweet old comic instead of paying for a celebrity's signature. It just doesn't do it for me in that regard. But
right. No, I get that.
Actors. I should say actors.
Okay. Yeah. So there are actors. So what we work on for the show is we work on people who work in comics. Like they can be actors who've worked in comics. We've never actually had that yet. Well, mm-hmm. sorta. John Rousseau was there this year, and he was in Night of the Living Dead, the original Night of the Living Dead. I believe he was in Dawn of the Dead as well. But he writes the Night of the Living Dead comic books. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, you work in comics? That's cool. Come on over. And he's from Evan City. He's kind of a local legend.
Yeah.
He's a super nice dude, and if you guys ever see him at a show, you should totally check out all of his cool stuff. Seriously, it's awesome. But we did have our first non-comic celebrity this year, and it was kind of a weird circumstance that we ended up having him. So originally, as we had advertised, the 66 Batboat was going to be there. But unfortunately, due to the venue change, we couldn't fit it in the building.
Because the way
the doors are, it was just an old Macy's. Like they didn't have the big sliding doors like a mall door or the big roll up like a mall door would, right? So there wasn't enough clearance to get it in there. So the guy that owns it was like, "I'll tell you what, man, I'm really good friends with my buddy Manny, and he would love to come to your show and hang out. And he's a super nice dude." And I'm like, "All right, well, what's his last name?" And he goes, "Sanguin." And I'm like, or Sanguin. And I'm like, "Are we talking about like three-time All-Star, two-time World Series catcher, that for the Pittsburgh Pirates, that Manny Sanguin?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Yes. Pittsburgh ties, I'm good." So we announced him on the Monday before. I doubt many people came out just to see him. But he just kind of hung out. We gave him this giant Santa Claus like photo chair. And he just kind of hung out by some of the cosplayers and had a good time. Like, I stopped by to see him a couple times. He said he was having a good time. But, I mean, like, you know, like, but he wasn't, like we weren't, like, charging $50 to meet him.
Yeah.
You could just walk up to him and meet him. Like he was signing stuff for charity. Like we weren't gonna.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, and that's cool. And that's cool too. Like, you know, we really didn't like. He was there, and he was an awesome part of the show. But we didn't like push him as, hey, this is our non-comic guy. So if you guys are listening who've never been to our show, that's kind of the show we are. We are all about comics. And yeah, I guess we have had the one or two guys that aren't really comic or writers or creators or something like that. But at least it's like a Pittsburgh tie.
Right.
Now I'm just waiting for like Jeff Goldblum or Michael Keaton to be like, hey guys, I'm going to be in town this weekend, see my family. Can I be at your show? And be like, yeah.
Yeah. They're from the area. That's
yeah, like it ties to Pittsburgh. I'm okay with it. It's otherwise, that'd be like turning down Mr. Rogers, you know?
Yeah. Otherwise, there's a whole another con, which I won't name.
Right. Well, there's a couple different ones, actually. One that's coming back for the first time in a couple years that's going to be in July and hasn't announced any guest lists. So I don't know how that's going to work, but it's $50 for a weekend. Our our show still and the cool part is like we also keep our show fairly reasonable at the door so that they spend stuff with the vendors and artists. So like it's $10 to get in. It's $10 to get in for an adult at the lowest price point. Period. And then you know, you just go up from there, and we did our usual convention exclusive beer, which was by Shoebrew this year up in Zelianople. It was awesome. It was Mercy Sparks Sinful Stout.
I actually liked this one.
Yeah.
I didn't like the previous beers. Not a fan of those.
It's a little.
This was awesome. I could see myself, like, you know, having a couple of these on a weekend.
There's a lot more maple in it than what I was used to from the other ones. And it's a little less. It's not that it's not thick, because it's a stout. So yeah, it is thick. But it is not as. I don't even know how to like. I want to say thick again, but it's not the consistency I'm looking for. It's kind of like the difference between like cola and water. You know, it's like that little bit of difference, but you can kind of tell like syrupy. It's right. Not as syrupy. How's that? It felt smoother than the previous year stuff. Not downplaying the previous year stuff because I love the Witchblade. The Witchblade was my favorite up until this year. But it was awesome. Yeah, like so many people having fun all weekend. That's all that matters to me is that people were happy and had a good time. So, and we're already planning some crazy stuff for next year that I'm not allowed to talk about. So I'm just going to tease you. Tease, tease, tease. So, but that is that's pretty much all I got for this. You guys good?
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add. I did like the con. For that being my first con, that's a rather big con for someone's first con.
We are good. I always tell people we're a good starter con, like, because we're not bringing in 10,000 plus yet.
Right.
But we're not like 500 people. You know?
Yeah, that was good. You know? I definitely would like to do that again.
Yeah, you get a few thousand people through the door and people have a good time. How about that?
Start building up my stock of books and stuff to bring next time.
Looks like I'm working again next year.
Kyle, you're on your own. No, it'll be fine.
Up there, do that. He should be able to run the store.
He'll survive. He'll be my little hobbit. He'll survive.
I did. There was one thing that I did notice about the con. I'll ask this way: do you think that the con would work better as a 1-day con? Because all the ones that I've been that I've been going to recently, have just been 1-day cons.
So, last year was decently busy on Sunday as well, more so than this year. But this year was on Mother's Day.
Yeah, it fell on Mother's Day.
So
that was rough.
So I can't really give you the exact yes or no on that. I feel that for the size of the show, we are probably still good at a 2-day.
2-day.
And you know, you buy the weekend pass, it's $15. You know, that's 2 days.
Plus 2 days gives you a lot of room to grow and add more things to it and not have to worry about timing and stuff.
Right. You could shop all 1 day and then the next day just go hit Artist Alley or vice versa. Or, you know, you dig through couple booths worth of boxes, and then you're like, oh, you know what? I just found all these things by this dude that's right over there. I'm gonna go get these signed, drop them off the CCC rep up front, and have them shipped off, and off you go. So, yeah, not bad. Good. Not bad.
That's pretty much the only question I had meant to ask you that off there, but it seemed like a safe one to ask on there.
Yeah, so. I mean that's kind of the answer. Like if it wasn't successful enough on the Sundays that we've seen so far, I would say yeah. But it's been fairly successful on Sundays, and we're always trying to make Sundays cooler to bring some people more people in. But that's pretty much where we're at with that.
Someday you should bring people in. That way you can hit them dealers up for low, low prices.
So that's a misconception.
That's me.
So there are. Well, I guess this is a cool little conversation. This is spun into. So there are multiple ways to be a vendor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your first way is you're just going to price your stuff. You're not going to take any discounts, and you're just going to, try to get maximum of what you want the whole weekend. There were those guys.
Which
then there were guys.
Doesn't work.
Well, it does. Depending on the show,
you gotta have a little haggle.
It depends on the show. So then there are guys that price all their stuff higher than they actually want to sell it for, knowing people are gonna haggle to get the point where they actually want to sell it.
I saw that too.
Right, saw that too. And then there are guys who just undercut the market value. So that they just move it and people don't.
That was me on Sunday. Because I didn't want to carry. I had dollar books with me too. And I didn't want to lug that back to the truck.
People don't want to carry stuff out. They're trying to make up for, that's, I love that. Sundays are days to go.
That was me. I was trying to blow dollar books out. So it was like, two for a buck and get them out of here. So I don't have to carry it.
Right. So like it's very, there's a bunch of different options as a vendor to do that. So when you go to a show, cause I go to a lot of shows. I like to shop vendors. I like to look for certain things. I like, especially Silver Age Green Lantern. And I did buy a Green Lantern 18 at the show.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was very well priced for the condition it was in. I thought
it looked great.
It's awesome. I got that from Gene. Thank you, Gene. So when you're a attendee, just keep that in mind that vendors price stuff differently to move things. Some guys just don't want to haggle, so they just go no. Some guys don't want to take stuff home, so they clearance it. And some guys are in the middle where they know what they want for stuff and they'll price it a little higher, or maybe they won't price it a little higher, but they'll let it go for a little less because they just want to get rid of it.
Right.
So
you also had the option there of people, what was it? My Comic Shop.
MyComicShop.com.
They had their table there and people could bring over boxes of stuff that they wanted to get rid of, or they could bring them to their booth.
Yeah.
And,
Buddy Saunders was there. I got to talk to him for about 20 minutes. And I found out he is one of the guys that helped push comics to get barcodes so that you could use a barcode reader and a digital POS
easier to keep track of
for
it.
Stuff. And I didn't know that. And I was just like, holy crap. I shook his hand. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. He's a super nice dude. And sometimes you have vendors like that where they just show up, get an empty booth and just buy other people's booths out and then sell that stuff.
Ray, you were telling me about that before the con, that might happen to me, where someone might come over, check out my stuff and offer me like one price on my whole booth.
Yeah.
And I thought about that and I was trying to prepare myself for that sort of a scenario.
Right.
And then I was just like, you know what? I don't want to do that. I would rather just, keep my stuff and drag it to the next con or whatever. If this is what I want to do with my stuff and go to cons, and
you at least want to give it a fair shake before you.
Right, and I don't want to start all
liquidate.
Over again.
Right.
A lot of that stuff was especially the dollar books that I bought in for my collection when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, so it's a little sentimental to you. So
kind of. I didn't have a problem seeing it go, but I don't want to just be like bulk it all out and you know,
right.
get it out of here.
Right.
I'm done with this. So
yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a couple different ways to look at things. I mean, we've bought booths out, like
right.
full booths. We've
right.
gone into shows with an empty van, not even set up, and just bought people's entire stock out. It is a thing that we do.
Hey,
but. The bad part is we have a tendency to overbuy, and then I have to drive like a van that's pretty much like gonna break in half on the way back from like somewhere minimum. It's usually the shows that are a minimum of 4 hour drive, so it's just like, oh God, don't die like the whole way home.
Please
so,
make it.
I mean, I've watched tires blow out. I watched two tires blow out. I've never seen any of there was a crazy story. And Todd's got this really good one about he rented like a U-Haul or something. This was back in like the early 90s. Rented a U-Haul or something and drove it to some place down in like Virginia, right? And drove it back. And they went to turn. They were like, man, like this doesn't feel right. Like it's getting kind of hard to turn.
Was the suspension
so they,
pushed
so they
down
put
so far that the tire was rubbing in the fender?
So... it gets better.
Oh, no.
So they do their best to pull the truck off the side of the road, and when they get out, they see that the wheel is like now like 30 degrees off axis
oh,
out,
no.
right? Like, and he's just like I guess like some cop like pulled over and was like, "How much weight do you have in there?" And they're like, "A lot." So they had to like. They had to go to a hotel. Somehow they got somebody from Pittsburgh to drive a different truck back, unloaded half of it into there, drove it back, came back and did the other half. And then they somehow got that truck towed or whatever. I don't know. But he tells the story way better. It's really, really crazy. But yeah, like I know people that, you know, were driving, you know, trucks or vans and they bought too much crap and poof, off the tire went.
I've moved my comic collection around enough in stupid
yeah, right?
little cars and crap. Just not good.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Get on the suspension.
Yeah.
It's heavier than what you think it is.
65 pounds.
Pretty sure my house is
going to
collapse one of these days.
Yeah, I keep all mine. I keep all mine above our bedroom. So at some point, it's just going to fall right in on us.
It's going to Cersei Jamie Lannister you for all you Game of Thrones fans.
Right. So. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and we will try to do this again soon. Again, I am John, the regional manager.
Bo, the Ohio store manager.
TJ, just some dude that works in Ohio.
And thanks for listening to the Toddcast. We'll catch you next time.